is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, it is our privilege to have on the show dear, dear friend, Gary Busey.
Hello, it's great to be here.
It's always good to see you, Gary. I loved your work on Entourage, by the way, last season.
Well, thanks very much.
And just caught Point Break over the weekend, which I've seen many, many times.
That was such a fun picture to make. Hathorn Bigelow directed that, and we had so much fun making it.
I'll tell you something about that movie. It because it's got the kind of Keanu Reeves thing, and it's also got the Patrick Swayze thing, it's gets in people's crosshairs as sort of a movie to make fun of, but then when you really start talking about it to people, it turns out they really do like it. At first, you think they're making fun of it, but then they start talking about it, and they dig it. Yeah, it's good. It's a good, exciting movie. Gary was great in it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'm a big fan. Gary is here for Celebrity Fit Club 2, which is on VH1.
Right now. I don't want the listeners of this beautiful show to turn on their TVs. I want you to tape the show now and keep listening to this show because Adam and Dr. Drew have some surprises for you.
Oh, yeah. we do.
We always do.
Yeah. What are the surprises this week, Drew?
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Gary's looking very trim. Gary has always been in decent shape, although in your younger days you were huskier.
No, I've been an athlete all my life. Football was my main sport, and what happened to me was I fell into a vicious war with cocaine in the early '80s.
Early '80s,
it really had me down, and I ballooned up to be 245 pounds.
Okay.
Now, why do most people
get skinny, right?
Skinny.
But here's what I do. I do cocoa, then I go to bed for 14 hours, then I get up and eat a whole chocolate cake, go back to bed, then I get up and drink a whole gallon of milk, and I know I was doing great, but don't listen to that, friends, if you're having that struggle. And so I got myself
stinking thinking,
right. And also, when you feel bad about yourself, when you're not happy with yourself and you don't know it, you can take it out on other people. And therefore, when you're feeling that way, in my case, I decided I didn't care about being in shape. I'm not thinking consciously of this. Unconsciously, I didn't care about being in shape because I knew all the fat I had on me would protect me. I could hide my feelings and hide behind that and embrace everything I did that was wrong.
Could you feel that in retrospect, or is that?
Yeah, I felt in retrospect, and you know what they say about hindsight. And I'm back to the size now I was when I made a surfing movie called Big Wednesday right before Buddy Holly.
Yeah,
that was 1977.
Rented that semi recently as well, Drew.
Did you really? Wow,
Buzz Feichens.
Yeah, Buzz Feichens. Yeah, good man. He produced Big Wednesday.
Yeah, his daughter went to my junior high.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, her daughter is very beautiful.
No way.
Did you try to do something to her?
I did plenty to her in my bathroom alone.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
yeah.
Did you use proctologist gloves?
No, I did not. I used a bare hand, but I made the mistake of using shampoo, and that's a
well. There's nothing like getting your puppy. Listen, Adam. I'll tell you right now. There's nothing like getting your puppy shampooed.
Yeah, except for it burns when it gets in the puppy's urethra, which is the eye.
Well, you don't go there. You don't go there.
Yeah, he has a daughter, Buzz.
He's got not too far to go before he gets there, you see.
He
doesn't have a lot of unit.
Now, here's a great magnet sort of Gary Busey Big Wednesday story.
Hide the women and children, please.
I think, Buzz Feichens was the guy who directed. He had a daughter named Cece Feichens.
Oh, you met her before?
She was the hottest chick in my junior high.
Wow.
And she was 70s hot, which meant she had the right kind of hair.
The feathered back hair.
And the right attitude. And the thing that's weird is you go back. Here's an interesting thing. Go back and look at your yearbooks from junior high and high school. I don't own any because my family were cheap Fs, but I see other people I went to junior high with. The people that you thought, the women that you thought were beautiful, that were the most popular, sometimes you go back and look at them and you realize it wasn't that they were that beautiful, it's just they had it going on.
They were popular for that period of time.
The passing of time changes visions.
Absolutely does.
Perspective.
And the thing that was interesting is I just did a... I just did some TV show a couple weeks back.
That's, you know what that's called? You're having right now. It's called a senior moment when you instantly forget something in the quick past.
Yeah, I know. Bernie Mac. Speaking of senior moments, so I'm doing the Bernie Mac show, and I go to high school with or junior high with the guys directing the Bernie Mac show. Wasn't Buzz Feitjens, but he brings his yearbook in the next day. I'm working a few days on. I start looking through the.
You
chicks.
Had gone to junior high school with him?
Yeah, I went to junior high with the guy who's directing. Well, I grew up in North Hollywood, so half the people just become grips and directors.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
Lighting guys. A lot of people got into the business that I went to junior high and high school, mostly building sets, but once in a while a guy's sitting in the director's chair. I was looking at all the women, and I haven't seen the thing for 30 years. I'm looking at all the women that were allegedly the most popular and the hottest, in my mind, the hottest.
Yes.
Looking at women to the left and the right of them that are as cute, faceless, couldn't remember them.
Yes.
Weren't maybe, the foxes.
Yes.
They had something. Right. The way they dressed, the way they carried themselves.
What happens to you when you go back to a reunion and see the ladies now? As they've grown up with women.
Well,
It's weird.
I mean, I went to my 20-year a year or two ago, and that high school.
Yeah.
That was that's it so far. So I don't know. The next
you
one's going to be
a train
wreck.
You know, Adam, with your notoriety, being who you are and what you do in the business, don't you go back there with a celebration inside yourself over what you've achieved and give that feeling to others to make
it feel good? No, I don't.
No, he goes back with his kiss my ass attitude.
No, I don't.
Well, you're looking for your, not for your
you know, you
peers,
are.
But
you're
for
that
your
kind of, you're that kind of guy.
No, I just go back. To me, it's pressure.
Face it, Adam. It's the truth of who you are.
Gary, getting sanctimonious on my ass.
Well, I will in a minute.
All I'm saying is, now here's the thing. Yeah. So you go back, like, I don't know, 25 years, 28 years. I'm in the seventh grade.
Yes.
There's Cece Feitjens, and she has a cast on her arm because she must have fallen off with a skateboard. She's hot, you know. I can barely muster the nerve to say anything to her. And on her cast, it says Big Wednesday.
Oh, interesting.
It says Big Wednesday on the cast, and I said... Now, the movie had not been out yet with Gary Busey. And I said, is that the day the cast comes off? And she said, no, you idiot. That's a movie my dad's working on, and I'm in it.
Yeah!
And that was the movie that Gary Busey, now 30 years later, here we are.
Wow.
See what I'm saying?
So those are the only words you spoke to Cece?
I met probably a couple other,
Equally is severely shot down, though, I imagine.
Yeah. Even small talk
Adam,
pulled
Adam,
off.
Adam,
but I remember she had
Adam,
Big Wednesday.
Adam,
yes.
What's Cece doing now?
I don't know. I'd like to find out.
Why don't you...
Want to work that out? I should.
I can help you. I know Buzz well.
You know Buzz well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see if you can find his daughter, because I got some, like, retro sex.
Let's have her on a guest on the show.
Yeah.
Bring her up.
That'd be awesome.
Well, you know what? That's fine, because I love to hear everyone talk, because it gives me an observation within myself as to who you are within yourself. And it's absolutely hilarious to see you talking illogically, making it logical. I'm so flattered to be here.
That must have been, like, 1977 or 78 now.
That's correct.
Go
that's
back
correct.
And,
that's
look
very good.
At it.
Very
yeah.
good.
All right.
Nice.
Gary Busey in some of the greatest movies ever made. And now it's Celebrity Fit Club. But how much weight did you lose? Because I didn't think you were too big going into it, or were you?
I weighed 220 going into it 9 weeks ago. And I cannot tell you my weight now because it's against the rules of the show, because you have to watch the show to find that out, because there's four people there. There's Willie Ames from Eight is Enough and Charles and Charlie.
Right.
There's a lovely Long Island lady named Wendy, who is a Snapple lady.
I heard you yelling at her last episode when she was standing by the heavy bag.
Well, that was something over prayer, but you'll see in the future.
I want
to let everybody know out there that what,
Jewish
you have no
there.
Idea.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's coming up on this show. It's so beautifully unpredictable. And we don't know the contestants in it, the eight contestants. We don't know what we're going to go through. I mean, the things we've gone through physically are amazing. Like doing one and a half back somersault off a trapeze bar and landing on your feet. I did that.
After Camp Pendleton,
the Marine Corps.
Yeah. What is the key? I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm eyeballing Gary and knowing that he lost at least 45 pounds doing this thing. What is the key to weight loss? Is it
65% of your training is what you eat. When you eat it, how you eat it, and the combination of food.
So give us that one.
Give us what one?
The secret combo.
Lots of smaller meals, earlier in the day.
Well, my stomach size now, I put my food into, is about as big as a softball. So 7 ounces of tuna fish, one navel orange will do me for a day. I have a supplement food system coming from VH1. Thank you very much, VH1. It's called Nutrisystem Food. Very small amounts. Good combinations of food. The less you eat, the better you are. But you have to eat at the right time with the right protein and carbohydrates and not go to the store and buy this stuff with sauces and junk food. And
a lot of people leave out the protein.
Food.
That's the big...
The protein is, yeah. Protein
do you eat nuts
down.
Things, too? Do you snack with almonds or cashews or anything?
I eat trail mix. Yeah, trail mix. I have that. You know what NUTS stands for, N-U-T-S? Never underestimate the spirit. That's abusivism.
Wow.
And that's why it's okay to be nuts.
Now, Gary.
What?
You're crazy like a fox. Like,
yeah, I'll take you.
I realize, I was talking about this.
That's a compliment from you.
No, it is. I was talking about this the other day. Like, remember I was saying Snoop Dogg's a genius because he can smoke pot wherever he wants and no one says anything about it? Gary Busey can do whatever he wants to whoever he wants and say whatever he wants, and it's Gary Busey saying it. Anyone else would be wrestled to the ground and escorted out of the building.
I don't speak in cruelty. I don't speak in criticism. I don't speak in insults. I consider other people's feelings first before I speak, and I consider their feelings to be more important than mine simply because they own their feelings, and if I own my feelings. Two people get in an argument. They're fighting over their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam, if you and I are arguing, you have feelings that you own, and I have feelings that I own. So the feelings... You're saying things that are against my feelings, so I'm going to tell you about my feelings. You're going to tell me about your feelings. We're going to start arguing, and it's going to be a confrontation. Well, what you do, and what I do, is I listen to the other person arguing with me. And let them argue and listen to it all.
Uh-huh.
And then I say, and I don't blink, and I look at them in the eyes. I have a half smile, and I say, thank you for telling me that. Because actually, the enemies you think you have on earth are here to show you things about yourself you need to change.
When did you get so
what's
spiritual?
What's important about enemies is enemies are simply friends in reverse. If you want to see your biggest enemy, look in the mirror.
Oh, he's standing behind me.
He's standing right inside.
I see. Okay, I got that now. But Gary.
What?
Now, you got a lot of spirituality.
Yeah.
A little nutty, too.
No.
But you're super smart. I mean,
Adam, something happened to me.
What happened to you?
Turned out to be a blessing. December 4th, 1988, I went off a Harley-Davidson going 40 miles an hour without a helmet. Hit my head on the curb at Washington Robinson Boulevard. 1:15 Sunday afternoon.
Not far from where we are now, right?
Wow.
You're close to where we are now.
Were you
high? I hit on that concrete.
Were you drunk?
No, I was not at all. I was without a helmet on a Harley Davidson, hit my head first onto the curb, split my skull open, knocked a hole in my skull the size of a 50-cent piece. But here's a miracle. I landed at the feet of a police officer who was there scouting the route of the marathon race in Culver City, December 6th. Paramedics took me right to Cedar Sinai. Dr. Lauren Hooten, most aggressive brain surgeon on duty, opened me up. He said if I'd been 3 minutes late, I'd be dead. I don't remember 4.5 weeks of my life because my memories would not consolidate. They took me out of Cedars and put me in Daniel Freeman, where they took me under the 12 layers of drugs they had me on at Cedars.
Also
had,
not far from here.
They had me locked into a room, naked, on a metal bed, chained down in the mental ward. And
really?
And a male orderly told my brother, get him out of here, they're going to cuckoo nest him. So they took me to Daniel Freeman, where they put the mattresses on. Dr. Roger Light and Barry Ludwig were there in my care. They put my mattresses on the floor and took me off the medicine, and I spent all my time with a flower cart with all my cassette players, my cassette player and my cassette tapes and a poster. They sent me from Lethal Weapon with helmets drawn on Danny and Mel and everybody autographed it. And I was just going to go home, and they said they called a meeting. Chief Staff Surgeons called a meeting 2.5 months after I was there, and they said, what are you letting him out now for? This kid was dead 2 months ago, 2.5 months. He couldn't walk, talk, eat, dress himself, organize anything. He's been through all the therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, physical fitness therapy. Why should he get out of hospital? And they said, our reports show that he has a resilience in himself with his mind and his courage and his power. You can call it faith if you want to. He's well already. And he was born with the energy. Gary was born with the energy of 10 men who have normal jobs.
How do you run up against Gary on the football field?
Yeah, watch out, like 11 men.
That's a lot of fun. That's a lot. I turned June 29th, I turned 61.
You're 61?
Yeah, I look 38, 39, 42, 45.
Oh, my God. And look at you, too. Nothing but, you know, doing blow and eating red meat. And look at you.
What do you mean, doing blow?
In your life.
In your former life.
Okay, so don't say doing blow.
No, in spite of all that, you look great.
In spite of that, you
look
amazing.
Well, then say in spite first, because I'm going to tell you, I want to help you with your grammar, Adam.
No, I say, look how great you look, and you've had a life of, you know, treating yourself like you're a bad car.
Oh, I didn't treat myself like that. I was a bad car.
Oh, all right, but still, you left yourself. You didn't park yourself in a garage.
But isn't it great? Isn't it great to go through the dry seasons where your faith is being tested, and yourself?
No,
and you're always wrapped. You're always wrapped in the protection from God. You're always in His favor. He'll be with you, even though you are failing yourself. But the word failing, F-A-I-L-I-N-G, stands for finding an important lesson, inviting needed growth.
Wow.
In other words, we don't fail. We just find a better way to do it. And that's what I've done. If I can do it, anybody can. I want to inspire people.
You know
people
what, Garrett? I got
to
say, your next move is going
like
to be...
I like your book of acronyms. They're not acronyms. They're Buseyisms. The word chaos.
You know what FUBU,
chaos.
FUBU chaos. Stands for?
The word chaos stands for critical hate and overwhelming stupidity.
Oh. What's the RICO Act stand for?
The RICO Act stands for locking you in the car.
So I think it's a racketeering and interstate commerce thing.
The word fraud stands for locking you in the car and carrying you across the border. The word fraud stands for finding relevant answers under deception.
I'd like to see you start your own church.
I am.
Do you have one yet?
I'm going to do that.
Oh, I know you are. I mean, that's the next move, right?
That's not the next move. That's one on the line. I have a lot of moves to make.
What are the next couple? Start the church.
Well, I'm working with Dr. Henry Malone on building a church in Plano, Texas, and it's a church of deliverance, which I was delivered from the 14 spirits of evil that are in the Bible that go back, generational curses back to Adam and Eve, and we all carry them. It took about 9 hours, me and him alone.
Wow.
And Dr. Henry Malone wrote a book called Shadowboxing. I request all the listeners to get Shadowboxing and read it and understand what they're filled with and what they have the ability to unfill themselves with the deliverance.
You want to go back to Texas and do this. That's where you're from, right?
I'm going where God sends me. I was born in Texas. I grew up in Oklahoma, but I'm from heaven.
But you're in Malibu now, which is not quite heaven, but it's pretty close.
Yeah. Heaven is where you make it. Heaven is where your vision
it's
is.
It's easier to make it in Malibu
than it is in Odessa.
That depends on where your heart is.
My heart's in Malibu.
Adam, your heart is the face of your spirit, so get real.
Well, whatever it is, it's looking at the ocean. It's not staring at an armadillo. That's where my spirit is.
You have a... what is your IQ?
Oh, who knows? I'm frightened.
Well,
we did check one, if you remember.
We did check.
Why do we check it out? I think Adam's IQ is just above his shoe size.
I did check online. It was in the mid-80s.
I think it was 92 or 94.
It wasn't triple digits, whatever it was. I blame the test or whoever administered it.
That's right.
Adam, you should know your blessings because you're working in a good way. You influence and inspire people, make people like
really?
They don't want to.
All right, well, let's do that now.
Okay, let's go.
Stephanie?
70's 20.
You're 20. What's up?
Okay. Whenever I have sex, like towards the end or when I'm finishing, my like arms and face usually, well, sometimes it's my whole body, but my arms and hands fall asleep and go like completely numb. And like the other day, like completely paralyzed. Like I could not move it at all. And it took like half an hour or an hour to like get all the blood back in it. And so I was able to.
What positions are you using?
Usually I'm on the bottom.
I'm on.
You're on the top or on the bottom? Her line's too screwed up. I think she's saying she's...
We got a weak signal here.
For the most part, these kinds of things are caused by breathing excessively, so hyperventilating, and or bearing down too hard. You can even get rhythm disturbance so your heart can slow down. And it's something worth looking into, Stephanie, because sometimes there are congenital problems that predispose you to the heart slowing to the point that you go out, you become unconscious. But in all likelihood, this is kind of a normal thing. Gary's had this all the time. Gary.
Yeah, I love it.
Gary's a man of passion, I would
Let me tell you about passion.
I'd guess.
The origin of passion is a Greek word called...
Yeah.
Listen.
Drew's a man of passion as well.
No, wait. Let me tell you. I am too. But here's passion. The source of the word passion comes from the Greek word pathos, and it means pain. So it's actually Mel was making the pain of Christ.
Interesting.
Passion is pain. Pain is passion. Welcome to Earth. I got three words for you. Welcome to Earth.
Interesting. See, if you're willing to feel the pain, you'll feel the ecstasy as well.
This does remind me, though, what Stephanie was calling about.
That's a masochist who does that. If you're willing to feel the pain.
You guys are going down a path that I'm interested in right now, in fact, because I was going to do a thing tomorrow morning, and there's been all this press in USA Today and on Yahoo about kids choking one another. But teenagers and young adults getting high by choking each other.
So they fall down and faint?
Well, they faint, but they actually get that sort of white light experience because they actually have the oxygen cut off to their brain temporarily. It's the same thing people do as part of the autoerotic asphyxiation, you know, part of the sexual stuff. And it seems to me that the press has just got this all wrong and is making much ado about nothing. We've never heard of this. And they're, my God, sweeping the nation.
Well, they do that with pit bull attacks and freeway shooting.
But I would be interested if anyone does that. There's all kinds of weird names for it, this sort of choking game. Let us know. Call Loveline 1-800-LOVE.
I had that happen to me playing Little League ball for Lindbergh Elementary School in Tulsa.
Somebody choked you?
Well, no, they didn't choke me, but I think they wrapped their arms around my chest or something, and they squeezed me, and I just fell flat on my face.
That was the hyperventilation thing everyone did
that's
did
an
in
old
junior
thing,
high.
Right.
Is that a breathing thing?
It is a little. That does induce a low heart rate where you do temporarily have low flow to the brain. But they're talking about actually strangling around the neck and cutting off the blood supply.
How about a future serial killer?
Would do that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, that's the point. Is that apparently lots of kids are doing this. I take issue with it being that.
What is the reason? Is there anything sexual about that?
No. Well, you get high. You get euphoria. You get
kind of refreshing though. They're not on the sofa playing Nintendo or watching TV.
Yeah. Maybe doing a wild Nintendo.
Instead of strangling each other, why don't we pet and be smooth with oils and satin?
Yeah, I agree. Those 11-year-olds should get some of that oil.
No. Stop it. Shouldn't be 11 years old.
This is that age. It's young teens that apparently are doing this thing.
All right, let's see. 11? Want to talk?
Yeah, low as 8.
They don't even have their sperm things going, do they?
No, but that's the point. There's a lot of confusion about what they're reporting. Is this something sexual or is
nothing.
It something getting high like sniffing glue?
But here's the whole thing. Are there any real, you know, these trends they always try to scare us with? Yeah. I mean, freeway shooting, pit bull attacks.
Yeah. Hey, that's happening.
Shark attacks right now.
That's happening.
Shark attacks. It's
earthquakes.
Cyclical. Earthquakes.
The world is changing.
Yeah, but how many freeway shootings, how many shark attacks, how many pit bull attacks, how many do we actually have?
Right,
as opposed
rare.
To how many does the news report?
Very rare, A. And B, the point I made to
we've had some shark attacks in a row.
Yeah, but apparently, according to guys that study shark attacks,
three in the last...
It's a normal season. It's actually a little below normal. There are shark attacks every week in this country.
Yeah.
They're just not reported. And in the Gulf for the most part, and so there they are. But here's the deal. What I made the point to CNN was, I said, look, if I haven't heard about it, this isn't a very big deal.
Right.
We would have heard about it 100 times if we're a big deal.
You know what I was thinking about with the sharks? Yeah. If I was a great white
remember
shark.
Remember the movie Jaws?
Yeah.
I kept everybody out of the ocean for 2 years.
Think about a mouth on a great white shark, right?
Yeah.
And all those rows of teeth,
and
jaw opens up 25 inches.
Yeah.
And now you got no arms. You just got those flippers, right?
Yeah.
If I was a shark, I'd be biting everything.
Sure, that's what they do.
All I would do is just bite stuff.
That's what they do.
You know what would happen
Adam,
to me?
You are a shark.
Didn't you see the scene in Jaws where they pull the license plate out and the cans and everything? That's you.
I would just bite things. I would eventually eat myself if I was a shark. I would start eating my own tail.
As you can see it.
I would digest myself. I'm just saying.
You want to get a good taste of yourself and live freely, right?
Our mouth is the size of a silver dollar, and we got these long arms. We don't do anything. Their mouth's the size of a trash can lid, and they don't have any arms. That's all they can do. I'm surprised they don't eat more stuff.
They eat a lot. They
eat more than you know.
I don't eat more people as well.
Have you ever had shark? Have you ever had shark?
Yeah, shark's good.
Thresher shark is great.
Yeah, it is.
But it doesn't eat you back when it's on the plate.
Shark steaks are good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I can't tell from swordfish.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Gary Busey here tonight.
I'm here tonight.
Yeah, we're talking food. We're talking, it's barbecue season.
Celebrity fitness. We're talking about celebrity fitness.
Celebrity fitness.
Get yourself in shape.
Talk to me, I'll help you. Gary Busey in tonight. Take a quick break. Be right back after
Thank you.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's It's Dr. Drew. Gary Busey.
Hello.
The Sage is in studio tonight.
That's Larry Elder.
Gary, oh yeah, different radio show. Gary is in the Celebrity Fit Club 2 on VH1, 10 o'clock.
On Sunday nights.
As we speak.
I like the fact that you include coffee in your fitness regime.
Coffee's okay.
Yeah, coffee is okay.
Coffee is okay.
And people have lots of fears, but I'm actually doing tea on Tuesday.
I don't use the word diet. The word diet has the word die in it. It's a stupid word. It doesn't get you anywhere. It's a negative reflection on your internal consistencies. So what I use is a new way of life in terms of being healthy with yourself. And friends, when you lose that weight, you feel better about yourself. You feel good about everything. And when you take care of your body, the temple God gave us for our spirit and soul to live into, when we take care of that body, we are happy, we're successful, and we're doing good, and we're inspiring others to take care of themselves.
But there's some evidence that caffeine may actually reduce the risk of Parkinson's and Alzheimer's.
Oh, really?
There's actually some amazing health benefits.
Good
However,
times.
That Cremora we put in here is just like sugar.
Cremora?
That powdery stuff we stick in here.
You put that in there.
No, I handed it to you.
You stinker. No. That was really funny.
Yeah, Gary thought it was
You'll see me do 300 push-ups before I leave here.
No.
You know what's good about doing push-ups when you're empty? You let a lot of little silent and
farts.
Yeah, it's really good. It's like a little, and when you tape that, you put it on an album for nocturnal sleeping.
I like the sound of the rainforest myself, but Gary Busey farting should be like
one of the channels.
Yeah, when you go rainforest, to the when you go to the Brooks Brook. Zone thing, and
you know, there's little things
Brook,
you can because you're so relaxed, Busey it comes fart. Out like. Yeah.
He's got range. This man's got range, Adam.
I believe all you really have to do in life is push-ups. And if they weren't so hard, we wouldn't need all these other pieces of workout apparatus and all that. As a male, if you just did a S load of push-ups every day, your upper body would be just fine.
No, you can't. It takes more than push-ups. It takes tricep work and bench presses for your pecs, and ab work.
You can do a wide
ab
grip
work.
and do that tight
That's
one.
Right.
Have somebody sitting on your back.
Yeah.
But you need to balance it out so you look like Popeye with the forearms, except to be your biceps. And Adam, look at your biceps right now.
I'm a little weak, yeah.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it goes with that. It comes with your dinner.
Yeah.
On the unconscious menu.
Oh. Ooh. Wow.
Put you in your place.
For dessert.
Whatever you want, buddy.
All right. I'm just saying.
Just don't eat in the dark anymore, because when you eat in the dark, you'll get sick.
Josh?
Hey, Josh.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just commenting about that thing you were talking about, choking other people. And I never really did it. Like, I've never done it during sex. I've never choked anyone during sex or anything. But a while back ago, my friends and I used to do it just for the heck of it. And, we were just like, okay, I don't know where my neighbors found it out from, but they got this idea one time, and they're like, okay, well, hold your breath, and then, they put their hands like that.
Look, put it where? Put your hands where?
He put his hands, like, the bottom of the hand, the palm of the hand, is they touch each other, and so the fingers are, like, at the back of your neck. And
right, it's more bad connections. Yeah. Look, kids got to break down and steal yourself a nitrous tank like we did back in the day.
Wow.
What do you think? Are you trapped on an island and you can't find drugs? You know what I mean?
Scary. Crazy.
Just strangling people?
It's beyond stupidity.
But, it's like you said.
It's self-ordained suicide.
No, this is the equivalent of BMX bike racing and Tony Hawk's performance on a skateboard.
Doctor, the anties are up.
They're just anties up everywhere. It's just
Doctor, you're putting your hands around your neck. That's not like a skateboard.
No, I'm just saying that kids are pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries of thrill these days.
That's called self-ordained suicide.
Yeah.
Be careful out there.
Do you want to talk to one more about it real quick?
See, Bruno's asphyxiation thing. Yeah, I'm just wondering in general, I think in life there's this sort of progression thing. Everyone's supposed to get bigger. Everyone's supposed to get smarter. Everyone's supposed to make more money.
Run faster.
Everything. I mean, if you think about...
Progress.
Right. Think about what your parents made a year. Think about what you'd like your kids to make a year. Think about what a house cost 20 years ago, what it costs now, what a car cost 20 years ago. Think about what they did with a basketball 50 years ago. The guy just dropped it in. Now he's taken off from top of the key, you know? I mean, everything is up. It used to be if a guy just did a kick turn in a swimming pool on a skateboard, he was the greatest skateboarder you've ever seen. Now he's got to jump over the Great Wall of China.
It's called evolution, my friend. Evolution.
I'm wondering if a lot more people aren't going to start getting killed because I don't think our bodies are evolving that fast. Right. Like, there's no difference physiologically between the kid in the 70s in the Vans who did the kick turn in the empty swimming pool and the guy who jumped over the Great Wall of China. His bones are the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's except right. One guy's got 80 feet of air. The other guy just got the front trucks out of the swimming
pool. One thing about something we must understand, that the word fear, F-E-A-R, that stands for false evidence appearing real.
I was wondering what that was. Yeah.
And the word doubt, D-O-U-B-T, stands for debating on understanding bewildering thoughts.
What's NORAD stand
those
for?
People,
I always see
those,
it on
those
North
people,
History Channel.
Those people who have fear and have doubt have created it themselves.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has a choice to make. We're the only animal that has free will and free choice, the human animal. We got to be careful with the choices we make because they might not turn out good in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything has gotten faster except for reading.
Well, here's one
I
for
realize.
You.
That's one department the kids have actually slowed down just a little bit in. They've reeled.
Well,
it
the
in.
Educational services is failing, I feel. Do you know what you see in the road?
What
usually
you
when you see a dead lawyer and a dead snake in the road. What do you usually see? You usually see skid marks before the snake.
Yeah, at least someone tried to stop.
That tells you about law and order.
Yeah. And what? How do we heal the educational system in this country, Professor Busey?
We utilize the money that was promised to us from my good friend Arnold and the governor of the state.
Mm. Do you know Arnold?
Yeah, I've known Arnold for years.
Well, I'm trying to think what you guys work together on.
Or my body.
Your body.
A lot. Yeah, Arnold's trained me, and Franco Tlumbo, who trained Arnold for 50 years, been 15 years, been my trainer. Harold Diamond, the kickboxing champion. Mike Minsker, Mr. Olympia.
Wow.
And I've grown up.
That's a different kind of working out, though, right?
Huh?
That's a different kind of working out than you're doing now. That was heavier weights.
Yeah, right. Well, right now, I'm doing aerobics, and I'm muscle weighs more than fat. So I'm losing all the weight I can to win the game, and then I'll start doing maximum muscle failure with weights, which is only 30 minutes a day, 2 days a week, and it's beautiful.
What do you win if you win this VH1?
We don't know yet. We don't know. We don't know. They keep everything.
How are you doing? Are you good for money? I mean, you set? You fine?
No.
You're not? Why not?
Because it's been a difficult couple of years. I've been in a dry season.
Really?
But things are coming up, opening up and opening up. The door's opening up, and I'm in a different place now.
Let me ask you
this. I actually
this.
Like myself.
Is acting sort of, could you sort of equate it to athletes from, let's say, the 60s, the 70s?
Acting?
In the sense that
no.
Back in the day, these guys, pro athletes, were not rich. You know, in the 70s, if they had a career that lasted 8 or 10 years, they're not necessarily set for life like they would be today. I believe now Gary Busey was not the leading man in Hollywood, but he was in the top shelf of male actors for a good period of time. Shouldn't you have enough saved up to see you through for the rest of your life?
Would you have had that
or would you thing? if your career started, you know, if right now, if Big Wednesday started tomorrow and you just did the movies you did up until the next 20 years, would you be set for life?
No, I wouldn't pay that much. I wouldn't pay big prices at all. Not at all.
I mean, what would you get for something like Big Wednesday?
I don't remember.
Was it 50 grand?
Oh, no, it was more than that.
Oh, all right. That's not too bad.
I think we would get today.
Yeah, that's my point.
But my price is going to go up, and I'm back in shape spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And that's what counts, is taking care of yourself and really liking yourself. Before you can like or love anyone else or help anyone else, you have to do it for yourself first.
But you haven't had
And that's
a,
what Celebrity Fitness is doing for me, and I want to utilize myself being inspired by the show to inspire others.
You've not had a civilian gig since you were 18 or 20, right?
What's a civilian gig?
Work. Work.
Oh, are you kidding
regular
me?
Work. Regular
Making
job.
A movie 12 hours a
no,
day?
No,
no, that's a lot of work, but I just mean you're an actor.
No, I'm not. Acting is the absence of acting. It's believing in the truth
you're
of the moment you're in at that
who's
time.
In a movie getting paid to act.
Excuse me, shut up. Let me tell you what this
saying.
Is.
Hey, what's the last Adam, job?
Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey.
Whoa.
Hey. Acting is the absence of acting. It's believing in the truth of the moment you're creating at that time.
Right.
Stop.
All right.
You did good. Go
Thank
ahead.
You, baby. No, I'm saying, what was your last job that was not in, and I don't want to say acting, that was not in a movie or a television, not in Hollywood? What was your last job at a donut shop, your last job at a department store?
My father was a construction design manager for Safeway Stores in Oklahoma, wow. Arkansas, and Kansas. So I did heavy labor, finishing concrete, tying steel, mm-hmm. digging ditches, forming concrete. That's what I did. When I had a spring break from college, I came home and went to heavy labor.
Right.
And I got paid $2.05 an hour, and I thought I had it. That was it, man. I had made it. That was great.
And that was your last job of that nature?
Yeah, the rest has been traveling rock and roll and making movies and doing events and television and coming on here.
Right. So you've had a good 40-year run.
1970, 35. I started in 1970. My first show was High Chaparral.
Oh, yeah.
Where I played a mental retard that was to hit Leif Erickson in the face with a stick while he was sleeping. But I was trained by James Best, camera technique and film awareness, where I ended up with 7 lines and 3 days' work because I knew what to do technically. And a great thing for all you new actors out there that are getting a job, when you have your first job, your first job, go up to the department head of everyone on the set, the head of the department of the property people, the camera people, the lighting people, the sound people, and tell them, I'm very happy to be here, and I want you to know, let me know if there's anything I can do to help you. And when the crew hears a new person saying that, they come out and they just embrace this guy or this girl who's there for the comment of the film that's being made or the story that's being made. And that's humble. The ingredients of a leader is being humble with humility.
Oh, somebody...
Did you hear me, Adam?
Yes, the ingredients of a leader is being humbled with humility.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Steel trap, baby. Don't let the pot fool you. Tasha knows somebody who was actually died from this choking game. Tasha?
Yeah.
You're 13?
Yes, I am.
What's happening? What happened?
Well, somebody had told my friend about the choking game at the school in Nampa. And actually, she was in her closet trying to actually pull this stunt. And she fell and she passed out. And she woke up and she started kicking. And she knocked over the ladder that she was standing on to help her.
Are you sure that she wasn't trying to kill herself?
No. The police investigated it and it was not a suicide attempt.
How did they prove that?
Could have been a mental suicide. She was unconscious of and completed it without thought.
She hung herself, right? Or hanged herself?
She actually had like a, I don't know what she had.
Was she choking herself?
Yes, she was choking herself with her brother. They were,
with her brother?
I don't know that they were technically.
Who was choking her, dear?
She was, and her brother was also doing it along with her.
Well, what does
you mean he was choking himself too?
Yes.
What does the ladder have to do with it?
Well, she was actually standing on the ladder, but he was standing on the floor.
All right. She wasn't there.
Yeah, you know,
but what there. Kind of kids are doing this game?
Why do you need a ladder to choke yourself?
To get some tension on the cord, I guess.
Well, that's what I said. She was choking herself with her hands,
no,
or she had something hanging?
She was hanging.
She had something around her neck, Tasha?
Yes, she did.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
That's so suicide.
Is this more popular now than ever, or what's up? about your other friends doing this?
No, after she died, everybody just kind of like stopped doing it, but it is starting to kind of get more popular.
Mm-hmm. Why is it popular, dear?
I really don't know. I mean, I think it's
who's doing it? Just kids that want to get high?
Yeah, just kids who want to get high that
get
don't
these
actually
kids drugs,
get caught
Jerome.
By
I'm going to start a campaign.
Use drugs.
Honey, yeah. Do you do this yourself? Do you choke yourself too?
No, I do not.
Yeah, that's good. Don't
dare the rope.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah, give them the dope. Spare the rope.
Take the dope.
Yeah.
Spare the rope, take the dope.
Well, or hand over the whatever it is. I got to trade in your rope for dope. That's basically
rope. It's called rope for dope.
Yeah. Rope for dope. That's it. Yeah. We found it. Rope for dope.
And it's not just, you know, it's not just hemp rope or just anchor rope or anything. I'll use cords, extension
belts,
cords,
belts,
anything you can hang yourself with, twine, anything you got.
You want to finish this up one more with Mark?
All right. Where is
five?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Mark?
Oh, yeah. Hello?
You're 25?
Yes, sir. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I used to do that back in the day when I was a teenager, but we didn't call it it was just called California Dream back in the day. And it wasn't actually choking. What it was is the person would squat down on their haunches and hyperventilate for approximately 10
that's
minutes.
That's a totally different thing, Mark.
I've done that.
But what about this component to human beings to alter themselves?
Oh, all mammals do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mammals
have a natural tendency. Mammals? Yeah,
mammals. Dolphins, well, porpoises don't. They're a mammal.
But, mammals in general have a tendency to try to self-stimulate. The dolphins will, you know, they'll...
Oh, self-stimulate, okay.
You know, that's part of that. Part of that goes to trying to take things and change themselves.
Adam is good at that.
I'll tell you what, get a dolphin right in its blowhole.
What? I beg your pardon?
You know what?
That's enough out of you.
You can't expect
you blow a dolphin?
You can't expect it to be called a blowhole and not have me investigate.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Investigate is one thing, but trying it out is... Anyway, oh, my God.
Well, what about this, though? I mean, maybe people were meant to take drugs.
Well, this is
what I'm saying?
Those are the people who are sick.
Right, this is the people, people argue that have identified this basic urge to alter. There is a definite urge to stimulate and alter our central nervous system. However, what it ends up being is people that need to regulate sort of that impulse is much stronger. They're trying to feel better.
Right.
But there is a tendency just to feel good, right?
Or
you want to feel extra good.
Everybody likes to feel good, or even different.
I mean,
to feel altered.
But you know, the first time you do it, the next time you do it, you will never receive the first high you get.
Well, no.
It will never come back to you that way. You're just chasing your tail. It belongs to the devil.
But if you think about things like dreaming, mm-hmm. and you think about sex, mm-hmm. and you think about roller coasters, and you think about 20-foot mm-hmm. waves, yep. and you think about going to a science fiction movie.
That is all that.
It's all that.
Right? Now, where does that come from? Probably in battle, a need to sort of.
I was aroused by being in battle. I had a contract to get in that way.
Yeah. He was paid.
You know what I'm saying?
More than 50
humans,
grand.
Humans
by the way.
Came out of a very violent heritage.
You close your eyes every night, and these crazy, elaborate, vivid things go on in your head.
Those are riddles. Puzzle pieces to find your truth.
Yeah, well.
That's what dreams are.
I had a truth where my grandmother and my mother were trying to beat me with my scrotum sack in a swimming pool a few years ago, and
how you feel about yourself, because your grandmother and your mother are really you in the dream. Everybody in the dream is a part of you.
No, he is the scrotum sack.
I know that. So does he.
Either way, I don't want to.
I love that cute little scrotum smile you have.
Thank you.
Better that it be your scrotum than your penis.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
do you know what happens? Do you know what happens when you cross a penis? When you cross a penis and a potato,
what?
You get addicted.
We'll take a quick.
Take a break. I can't go.
61 years crazy. I mean, young, everybody. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Love Line. Gary Busey.
Hello, everybody. It's Love Line. Adam Carolla.
Gary Busey.
Ace Busey.
Gary Busey.
I'm here, and I love it.
Yeah, everyone loves Gary Busey. Gary Busey's almost turning into a George Foreman career-wise. Maybe people were scared of him in the past, but now he's so lovable, you just want to squeeze him.
You know, Adam, thank you for saying that, because that's true. I was very difficult, belligerent, and stupid, and didn't care for anything, especially myself. But I've come through that to see there ain't nothing to it when you get through it, and then you can consider other people's feelings first and really have fun doing it.
Guys,
what you do.
I was saying to Drew the other night, I think guys get better with age and women get meaner with age. Guys, you know, we've had guys come through here in the time that we've been here, Drew.
Yeah, you're
right. We've seen guys go from their mid-20s, maybe late-20s, testosterone-laden, aggressive, chip on the shoulder, something to prove, to guy in middle 30s, early 40s, laid-back, comfortable in their own skin.
Be fair, most of that caused by massive amounts of
copious
marijuana.
Copious amounts of marijuana,
yeah,
usually. No, guys can be aggressive and can be.
That's because men are the first ones who are feeling. The first thing a man does not want to happen to him is being rejected or abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know why I have to be an a-hole in order to avoid being rejected.
You know how humans are. They got to bring on what they want to avoid.
Right. Right. I'm just saying, guys are so much better when they mellow out a little bit.
Yes.
And they get a few years and some experience under, and they get a little bit humbled. Mm-hmm. They can.
That's humble and humility is where I am now. It's nothing like it.
They admit they made a mistake or two,
humble.
And they don't want to. Spend the second part of their life pissing people off.
Right.
Or
that's good.
Kicking ass or getting their ass kicked or whatever. However it works. Eventually, it's either you get your nose broke or you break your hand.
One thing about my essence is that I've never been in a fist fight in my life, but I played football and I made action movies.
Right. Yeah, and you put a shoulder into a sternum or two.
Yeah, that's fun. Snapping sternums, man, that's great.
See?
Well, I snapped the sternum. I snapped the sternum with my forehead and moved my head up and loosened their teeth. Help them up off the ground, tell them I'll be right back.
Where did you play football? You played in high school and you played in college?
I played grade school, junior high school, junior college, and college.
Were you a linebacker?
I was a linebacker and a center. I could snap the ball 30 yards into a bushel basket.
You do the long snap.
I do the long snap, and we had a high school offense where I would snap ahead of the back. I would snap ahead of the right halfback. He would have two steps on the defense. He would catch the ball in front of him 2 yards, and we had a
so it was like student body right, except for it didn't have to go to the quarterback.
Right, it was based on the Arkansas.
Wow.
Offense in the early 60s.
You'd get away with that stuff in the 70s.
Yeah. You could get away with the fumble rooski.
Yeah.
Well, this was in the early 60s. Then I went to Coffeeville, Kansas Junior College, Kansas State College,
Me
and
too.
Oklahoma State University.
Oh, we got to take a break now.
Took a break.
I know, but we're running late.
What do you mean we're running late?
We're
just took a break.
Too much.
We're talking too much. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Adam, you're talking too much.
We're going to start focusing when we come back. Gary Busey here. We'll be right back after.
Oh, I'm talking low. I'm sorry.
Hey.
Hey. Hello, everybody. We're back in Love Line. This is Gary Busey speaking for Adam and Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And we're glad you're here. Call us up and let us know something you're doing that we don't know. We can tell you how to do it and how to get out of it. Thank you very much.
Two things.
1-800-LOVE-191. Yes,
two
Drew.
Things. A, I know Adam is having the time of his life here because he can just sit back and let
Gary
run.
Do the heavy lifting.
It's
awesome. Yeah.
Number two.
We play Tickle and Pee, too.
I've seen Gary in action now. I've decided the way to deal with him is like the way you deal with an oncoming bear. Just roll, get into a fetal position, put your hands over your head, just roll up. That's it.
No, I think you should flap your arms and try to be bigger than you are.
Why are you?
Yeah.
Like a big.
Gary just attacked me when
it wasn't an attack. It was a great game called Tickle and Pee.
And
you people out there that want to play Tickle and Pee, there's a tickler and the tickle-y. Uh-huh. Well, the tickler is going to tickle the tickle-y, and
guess
the tickle-y has to
I
let
was,
him.
Everybody.
The tickle-y has to let the tickler tickle him for 45
Until
seconds.
He pees. Right.
If that tickle-y pees in 45 seconds, he wins or she wins a set of luggage and a chocolate bunny. It is a great party game.
The joke's on Gary because I. He's an attractive. Look, I'm a big fan. I mean, I've.
Do you know what the word gay stands for?
I saw big ones.
The word gay stands for good as you.
All right.
No, gay stands for good as you.
All right, good as you. Yeah.
Which is homosexual talking to heterosexual, and God bless the homosexuals. They're doing great out there.
I'm glad Gary isn't gay because he'd be into that rough trade.
He'd be into you. He'd be in you.
There's nothing you
Drew.
Can do.
If you were. I kind of like the engineer.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah. Chris. Yeah, he is a definite type. He's a definite type. Yeah, he's.
So you know what?
He's Greco-active too.
You are bisexual though, Adam.
Well, I am now.
Can't
tell
you what that means.
After the mild raping you just gave me in the studio.
That was
tickling
pee, pal.
Well, I call it rape.
You play it again?
With your semantics.
No.
Come on, tickling pee. Here we go.
Oh my God.
Look, I'm going to cry.
For those at home, it's been fascinating.
You can't get away.
Gary has come across the studio.
Those are my nipples.
And has attacked Adam.
Are your ribs.
He is running his hands all over his body.
Is your groin.
Oh my God.
I didn't know Adam was tickling. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that was being tickled. He was being sort of.
God.
That was fun,
an attack.
Wasn't it?
Nah, you'll be.
This is live and in color.
You'll be hearing from my lawyers and my seconds. I said good day, sir.
Oh, no. Good Gary, day. You said good day.
Ah, man. Oh, I love coming down here.
Yeah, we love having you.
This is the last time I think I'll be here, though. So, hello.
Nah, it's all right. I got a good deal. Listen, here's the thing.
No. It's all right. It's all good.
Hey, guess what? What?
Yeah.
You're next.
No,
okay. Yeah.
No.
I have not.
Dr. Drew is next to get tickled.
Oh. You know, the thing that's weird, I haven't been after with in a long time. You know, my whole life used to just be getting abused by my buddies in the valley. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I always was hoping.
You seem like it was familiar territory for you.
When felt up by celebrity, though, I was picturing like a Jennifer Connelly Jennifer Aniston in my mind when physically felt up by celebrity.
Yeah.
Like it would have been one of those.
Hey, you're not being felt up. You're just being tickled.
Well, okay, but if.
It's to get your juices going, buddy.
In your old former life, you would have peed on him.
If somebody would have said to me like 1 week ago, 1 week from now, you'll have a major celebrity put their hands all over you and run them across your thighs and your chest. I would have been like, oh, boy, this is going to be awesome.
Well, here, let's do it again.
No. Wasn't picturing Gary Busey.
You did really good. You're good sport.
It was one of those Twilight Zone trick questions. I would have agreed to it.
By the way, I'd like the audience to know out there that Adam did not pee, so he did not win the luggage or the chocolate bunny.
Oh, you have to pee to win the bunny.
You have to pee to win, yeah.
No.
But it'd be good to just pee and get it over with.
Right,
get the luggage, eat the bunny, and go.
What I did, I should get a stereo for what I... No, I did number two.
Oh, you said you came and then you did number two, both. You've been all the way around.
Yeah, I've been around.
Yeah. Radio.
Whoa, radio.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I feel like I'm in my living room with these two.
Yeah.
These two
gentlemen.
These two pioneers.
Good day.
These two pioneers are microwaving.
Michelle?
Hey, Michelle.
Hello?
Yeah.
My bad.
Let's cut Gary off the coffee.
he said cut, Gary.
Drew, start putting something in it. What do you got to do in that drink? You know what I mean? Let's start it.
Hello?
I said cut the coffee.
Cut the coffee. That's all I'll say. Michelle?
Yeah. Hello?
I told you. Hi, Michelle. Hi.
Hold on. What's coffee stand for?
No, it's cut is the word that shuts it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. If I ever hear the word cut, I quit talking.
Oh, that's moves. Right. That's right. I didn't mean that.
I can stop talking.
But there was
he didn't mean it. Sorry for meaning it.
Yeah. Michelle.
Hello?
What's happening?
Hi, Adam. I love you.
Thank you.
I just
What's
wanted
up?
To let you know I played Adam Carolla in my neighbor's pool, and they didn't know about it.
But they caught on to it. Yeah, Gary, I want to replace.
No.
I want to replace the summer pool game Marco Polo with Adam Carolla.
Adam
Carolla.
Adam
Carolla. You know, instead of that Marco Polo crap. You know what I mean? That would be my legacy.
Marco Polo's been dead for quite a while.
Yeah, it's been
could
like
be Gary Busey.
No, it's not going to be that. I don't know what this is. Is this condom manufacturing?
Well, what this is? What this is Gary. His legacy is his body of work.
Yes, yes.
He has all his great
films. You need a game left behind.
I don't have anything to leave
behind.
No,
right. It's all
you do.
Lost to the vapors.
Your dirty clothes.
Yeah, that's all I have is laundry and underpants with the hash mark on it now.
No, it's got pee marks in it.
Front and back. Michelle?
Yes.
Thank you for playing that with your neighbors.
Michelle's
now, go ahead.
Got the,
I was in there. I go in their pool every night and they don't know about it.
What's Very the deal, good. Michelle?
What's up, baby? You got that young voice. That's trouble.
Okay, well, I'm 16. I live in Michigan. And in Canada, you can start stripping at 16.
Perfect. There we go. There's that impulse again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the reason
really,
you think about that.
Really, you can start at 16 in Canada.
Yeah. You can I want to drive over the border and...
Yeah, it scared me.
I said...
Because
16, you can start stripping in Canada.
Why would you want to strip at 16?
I really need to get out of my home situation.
Well, stripping in Canada when you're 16, is that the only way you can get out of your home situation?
It's like $500 a night, so.
That's not what he asked.
Yeah, but why do you have to get out of your home situation?
You make $500 everywhere.
Yeah, why do you have to get out of that?
I do not get along with my family.
We definitely got the definite abuse vibe from you.
Were
Michelle.
You abused?
Like how?
Sexually, physically?
Well, I think yes. My mom thinks no, so I'd have to go with no on that.
What do you mean yes? You think you were sexually abused?
Oh, no. I thought you said physical.
Yeah. Well, either one. Physically abused. Why do you think you're physically abused?
Because I used to get, spanked with hangers and stuff. Mm,
there you go. That's physical abuse. It is.
Those
kids that are physically abused leave home. If there's not abuse in the home, people don't leave. Kids don't leave. They leave when they're being abused.
Yeah. Well,
so the whole
anymore.
Impulse.
What about emotional abuse?
It's usually explicit abuse. Emotional abuse gives them the sort of motivation. The explicit abuse makes sure that it actually happens.
Right. All right. And is your mother and father still married, or is this a stepdad, or what happened?
My father, I just found out where he is last Christmas.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when he left? How old were you when he left?
Like, they were never really together, but they got back together.
Have the other men in the house been a pain?
No, I don't have any other men in my house.
Never been any boyfriends of hers or stepdads or anything?
All right, here's the problem with your Canadian stripping idea. You're going to go to Canada, you're going to start stripping, and then you're going to get into drugs, and then you're going to meet some unsavory people who are going to take advantage of you because of your age, and the next thing you know, you're going to be working parties, and you're going to have a 100 Asian businessmen on top of you at once,
and
you're going to be doing porn, and you're going to get pregnant, and you're going to get venereal disease, and you're going to get strung out, and in a very short year and a half, you're going to be a complete disaster.
I was thinking over the weekend how to talk to kids like this. We had a couple of these last week, but they're going, well, I don't see what the big problem is. Remember that one who was doing pornography and she was gleeful about it?
Yes.
And I thought, you know, I think the only way they can understand this, because that story you just told is factual, but they're like, oh, yeah, not me, man. You don't understand. It's me we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So let's just say, Michelle, it takes a piece of your soul away from you. Can you understand that?
Good point.
You sacrifice a piece of your soul to this stuff.
Wouldn't, like, working at a crappy job that I hate do the same thing?
That actually might enhance your soul, as a matter of fact. That actually gives people character.
I'll tell you the other thing, too. Everyone. Let me do a little Gary Busey-esque preaching to my flock for just one second. You people underestimate the worth of being hungry. If you get a job at 16 where you're making $500 a night, you ain't hungry. And you will just flatline until eventually your boobs get too saggy to go back out on stage, and then you got nothing in the bank. You got to be hungry. Everybody who's successful, and I don't care what line of business they're in,
started at one point, was hungry.
Started in the mailroom.
Chris, right here.
That's the truth. This kid is starving over here. He's like a Biafran. He hasn't eaten in years, this kid. He is hungry. He's piranha-like hungry.
He struggles through those junior college courses.
He's like a piranha that did a bong load. That's how hungry Engineer Chris is. You need to be hungry. If it's too early, too often, too much, too soon, you lose that. If somebody kicks off and leaves you a trust fund and you get a few million bucks at 18, look at all the people you know. Just think about the people you've known in your life that had a wad of money come their way at 18. Up their nose. Cars, nothing. They didn't learn anything. They weren't hungry. You have to be forced by life.
It's not even just about the being hungry. It's also the discipline of doing crappy s you don't want to do
right.
for long periods of time and doing well at it and moving up.
That's it. And so,
good point.
You getting the $500 a night at 16 is not only bad for your spirit, but it hurts your muscles.
Yeah.
You don't grow. You don't get strong. You have to develop those muscles.
Yeah.
If someone, it's sort of the equivalent to you playing a sport and everyone just falling down and letting you run into the end zone.
Right.
They're not doing you a favor. You don't develop those muscles. And if you don't develop those muscles before the age, in your early 20s,
never gonna happen.
You just take it right to the grave. You just go to the grave. Those years between 16, 17, up to like 21, 22, those are the years you have to forge those and really work those muscles. This ain't the way to do it.
Right.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Man.
Wow.
You're the man.
Yeah. Is that Belle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Year 20?
Yes.
Your name's Belle?
Yes, hi.
It's a nice name, but never hear it on this show.
Not on this show, no.
All right. Why, you do another radio show?
No, I've just
Belle?
Heard it out in the world.
Oh,
a few
okay.
times. With nurses
what's,
have that name.
What's that? Yeah, 65-year-old women with thyroid problems and question marks around their sexuality. Shoes without laces that you work with are named Belle, but not 20-year-old or nubile young chicks from Berkeley. Is there someone in your family named Belle?
No, it's just, I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so my question was in regard to what...
Be nice as a guy if you could just laugh and move on.
Yes, oh, whatever.
People go like, you just do like...
Well, that was good.
I don't understand. If you went to high school, I don't understand why you don't have a diploma. Well, it's kind of like, and just move on. As a guy, we never had that. Like, it'd be like, hey, a-hole, why are you laughing? I'll finish the story. It'd be nice as a guy just to be able to just to pull out that chuckle card at the very end and move, just move forward.
Yeah.
Kicks you into the next.
Where did you learn? Where did you learn all this stuff, Adam?
We have just observed it. Just
but looks like you're bouncing. Are you nervous? Are you afraid I'm going to tickle you again?
Oh, he is. Yes, but it's just you know.
Next
what that
time
is?
You pee, buddy.
Thank God I evacuated myself before I came in. I knew Busey's coming in.
I ran out and did it myself.
Fleet enema. And just to go ahead and put the trucker's catheter right on
me. I wonder why you asked me to
all the way to the studio.
That's great.
But there, I'm
very proud of you.
Thank you, buddy.
The guys do have a sort of couple outs. They have, but still.
Yeah, they do have that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they have that. Yeah. They have that, too.
That's the giggle.
The giggle's easier, though. Belle?
Yes.
All right, so what's your question?
Okay, my question is in regard to what Dr. Drews just said a minute ago about how if you're hit with hangers, that's child abuse?
Objects, yes. Hit with objects is considered physical abuse, mm-hmm. and it's been well documented what the effect is of that on the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it changes the way people regulate their emotion. And if you're a child who wants to leave home, mm-hmm. who's intent upon leaving the house, you can predict with very great accuracy that there's been some abuse, physical or sexual, and physical is a very common form. That's not what's making her want to leave right now. All the emotional chaos is making her want to leave. But mm-hmm. when kids have been physically abused, sexually abused, that's when they do leave. Those are the kids that leave.
That's a fact.
Okay. Yeah. All right, okay. Belle. You good?
Yeah. Wait, thanks. No. My question was in regards to what Dr. Drew thought about the common practice of, like, spanking and hitting with objects, particularly hangers.
I refer you to the work of a guy named Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E.
Okay.
You can get some of his publication online that talks about the effect of abuse on brain development. And
okay.
you'll see how that works. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering, trying to think of the folks. Now, I don't know how the Middle Eastern cats do with their kids, but I think there's a lot of ass whooping going on over there.
Yeah, it affects people.
I know the black community does a fair amount of ass whooping.
And it affects,
end up in prison later on in life because you get into an argument with someone at a fast food restaurant. Next thing you know, you're hitting them on the head with a tray because in your world, that's how you interact, and now you're in jail.
It's a familiarity.
It affects how aggression develops. It affects how emotional regulation occurs, so you can't regulate, and it affects the ability to develop empathy.
One thing about emotions, you cannot control your emotions, but you can manage them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'd like to see a study of places in the world, cultures, whatever, that do the most beating on their kids and see how the prison population is and see what percentage and all
That'd be great research. Yeah.
I do think that a lot of the problem in certain cultures, especially in the Middle East, is there's a lot of ass whooping early and often. And whenever they go back and look at these guys like, well, Saddam Hussein had a stepdad who did this to him, and then he had an uncle that was very aggressive.
Yeah,
and
blame it on the ancestors. Blame it on the ancestors.
Well, they learn by the age of 10 that violence is the way to resolve conflict, and then they have no problem gassing a few thousand Kurds, you know?
Well, the whole empathic area of the brain doesn't develop under those conditions.
Well, one thing about this, once you've chosen your behavior, you've already chosen your consequences.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah,
I like
it's
that.
Yeah, aggression, that kind of stuff against kids is an interesting phenomenon, but we've worked out so much of how it affects kids now. I mean, why would we
be nice to stop?
Yeah, it'd be nice to stop. We
it'd
now know it has
stop.
Profound effects. It affects the capacity for emotional, you know, development.
Well, not only that,
empathy of others.
It
blocks all that.
But how about you beat the crap? I mean, let's just take it a step further, which is we now make the correlation between what you do to your kid physically and what that kid does to society physically. So now, when you beat the crap out of your kid, and then your kid shows up to the eighth grade and starts beating the crap out of my kid, now you're liable for
That's
it.
That's a familiar thing
and
you
carry
with you.
If you don't believe this, try that kind
a familiar action.
Try that kind of discipline on a puppy or a kitten and see what you get when they grow up.
Right.
Just go ahead and do that. Do what you do to the kid on a kitten and see what that cat's like when it's an adult.
Right.
Ooh.
Heavy. But do they ever become adults or they just become cats?
They become cat.
It sounds like a movie of the week. It's a good one.
Luis, which one is it?
Adam.
Carolla.
Yeah. All right.
All right. It must be Luis because you grew up rich and you're calling from the Palisades. If you grew up poor and you're calling from San Fernando, it'd be Luis.
Yeah, man, definitely. No, I'm just, like you said, all right, this is how the trust deal works, all right?
How's it work? Somebody left you money?
Yeah, my dad died when I was 2 of lung cancer.
Ooh.
And incidentally, he never smoked a cigarette in his life.
Ugh.
So that sucks.
Must have been secondhand smoke.
Must have been secondhand smoke that killed him then. So
he worked at a water purifying company which produced a lot of smoke. And
No, still must have been secondhand smoke.
So he left some money behind.
He left me about $2 million.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And the thing is, you don't get, like, the whole amount of it at 18. He divided it so that, like, I would get a monthly check of around $3,000 as it's coming right now. And then when I hit 21, you get a third of what's left of the balance.
Yeah, but Louis, that's how your dad set up his will. What's your point here?
Yeah. Well, the point is that, you know, when you
it's
talk
already
about
affected his education,
kids,
obviously.
Clearly.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about these rich kids, you know, getting all this money at 18, not necessarily being handed to them all at once. The kids, I actually know some kids who got half of their trust all at once.
Oh, so instead of getting the whole $5 million, they just got 2.5 at 18.
Not only that, by the way,
I see.
Maybe we weren't talking about those kids, by the way.
Luis makes a very compelling point, by the way, very valid.
That there's nobody that receives a lot of money.
It's impossible because it comes incrementally.
Always.
And by the way, when you're 18 and you're getting $3,000 a month,
that's huge.
You're done.
That is huge.
That's
great. You should be counting your blessings there.
Counting your blessings, or
it is nice.
Or,
you know what?
Were you cut off at the knees?
No, you know, it's a funny thing because money.
Where are you going to college?
Where are you going to college?
Hopefully, I plan to go to either UCLA or University of California, Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz. Well, you're 18. You should be already in.
Yeah, well, I've had a hard childhood. Like when my dad died, stepdad moved in. His name's Jerry, and my mom and him have just been fighting a lot, on and off. They got married when I was 11.
Are you working now, or are you living at home, or what are you doing?
Living at home. My mom turned her garage into an apartment, living there.
Decorative popcorn tin?
Oh, please.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're living at home.
I do gigs in bars. Uh-oh. And like
what kind of gigs?
I do music. I'm a musician.
What do you play?
I play guitar, drums, bass, piano.
Do you write your songs?
What'd you get in your SATs?
Yeah. Gary Busey, you're an awesome man. I had to say that.
Thanks, partner.
What'd you get in your SAT, Louis?
I want you to be an awesome young man and do what's right.
What'd you get in your SAT? I make a point by this. He didn't take his SAT. It's the whole point. He's not never going to college. This is ridiculous.
Well, he's going to go to Santa Cruz.
Who are we kidding here?
All right. But you make a very valid point.
Now, here is somebody who's blaming his past. But the reality is, he's been cut off the knees by the present.
That's a fact, Jack.
I don't even know what his plan. He had no point.
He had no point. He's very concrete in his thinking. It was all about him.
Well, my point was, when you take a young male, especially, but females too, in this day and age of
and
equality,
give them too much stuff.
Give them too much too early.
They lose
their hunger, and they need to be humbled. You need to be humbled.
There you go, buddy.
Build yourself up. Think you're better than you are at 17.
Yes. Or not think that when two guys are talking about the people on the radio, they're talking about you.
Yeah.
And not think that you're going to someday go to college but not take the SATs.
Right. But he enlightened us to this part where you get half and then you get a stipend.
No, when his dad, his particular will set it up.
By the way, everyone has been set up that way in the last 25 years, pretty much.
What?
All those wills where they leave money.
They get set up incrementally. They're all on stages.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. If someone leaves you $10 million and you get half of it when you're 18, still
know it's there.
Decent chunk of change.
Not only that, what are you working towards?
Right.
What are your ambitions and your goals?
I just think it's tough. And then what you have to do is Drew, because you know, you got a few ducats in the bank and you got a couple of sons, then you get to that point where you can't or won't get them things that they know are within your means. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They want this, they want that.
You have to get things within your own means.
It, then they end up presenting
it. But here's the money is for education only.
All right,
there
Drew.
You go.
There you go.
And rehab. Justin?
And rehab, yeah. That's it.
Hi.
What's happening?
Hey, man, my girlfriend, I love her, but she's not enjoying the oral sex thing.
When you do it to her or when she does it to you?
No, when she does it to me. And actually, she hasn't done it in over a year. She would do it once in a while, like maybe once a year. But even before she started not doing it, she wasn't very good at it. She only did it a few times.
What's the problem?
I think part of the problem is like when we first had sex, it was only the third time she had ever had sex. And she She was 28 at the time.
Whoa.
She says she doesn't like it.
I'm not sure about that.
All right. Well, look, there's something here. Either she's a devout Christian or her stepdad forced her to perform oral on him when she was 13 and she's not talking about it.
That's a pretty good point.
Nothing like that. She only doesn't like the taste of it. She doesn't enjoy it. She did it a couple times.
So don't ejaculate.
No. Hold on. She only had sex a couple of times at age 28?
Yeah. She had sex in college, and she had another boyfriend between then, and then I was like one of her
probably more than twice.
She means number three.
She only had sex with two guys once each.
Once each?
Something's up with this chick, Justin.
No, she was just really kind of a wallflower for a while.
She's moving. She's slowly moving away
do
from
I
you.
Just get loud and clear. Bogus.
Yeah, I get bogus too.
It's called pushing away from you.
True.
No, I got bogus. I got bogus early and often in this call too.
Okay. Well, I need to convince you it's not bogus. I promise this is true. My girlfriend is very smart. She's very well together. She's even a teacher, right? And
she's
a college degree.
None of that
means anything.
That doesn't mean anything in the bogus department.
Here's what you do. You go slow, and you let nature take you.
College degree never helped in the oral department. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a hindrance. It's like saying, the guy's got a college degree, therefore he must be a great heavyweight.
That depends on what you're majoring in.
Yeah, and they have like oral communication, but I think it's
different. And then why? Because she doesn't like how it tastes, but he's never offered to not ejaculate? Is that...
I don't know. Let me just finish with Justin. Justin.
Yeah.
She ain't into this. And,
but why go all the way to ejaculation then if that's the deal breaker for her?
If she's not in it, don't do it.
Yeah.
Respect her.
Why not stop?
Wishes.
Why not do something before that happens?
That's a good idea. Should I offer to do that? I think she might like that.
It sounds so bogus. Justin, either
you're waiting a year and you're desperately waiting and you've never thought of that? It's like, come on.
I bet you Gary's tastes like a shy latte tea, by the way.
And a little bit comes out before you ejaculate anyway, I'm sure you know.
Well, not with the Ace Man, because I got a washerless system down there.
Yeah, he has no leakage.
Drew, as a man of passion.
Overflowing.
Well, you collect things, Adam.
Are we allowed to say
the
C ring? We can't?
It's a draw on Justin here. Here's the deal. She can go until... not getting a full dose.
Who cares?
And then finally, he's waiting for 85 minutes, for God's sake.
All right.
And then finally, this may be something that she has an aversion to for whatever reason.
Maybe. Oh, there's something going on.
There's something going on.
You know, I've talked to a few patients when this has happened, where they were like caretakers of sick, of sick parents for many years, and sort of the whole thing about genitalia freak them out because they were cleaning them up and stuff.
Right.
And so there may be, and whatever it is, traumatizing to her, and you're going to have to respect that.
But it's also fair to say that there's a certain percentage of society
not into it.
It's just not into anything.
And that's maybe a mismatch. That's a deal breaker for you.
One thing a lot of people don't know is that your mind has the ability to make 15,000 decisions in 1 second. Just make sure your mind is clear and you're thinking about others.
Wow. All right. Let's decide to take a break.
That's one of our 15,000.
Gary Busey in studio tonight. We've got a big fan who's waiting on hold for Gary. We'll talk to you after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Gary Busey. The always entertaining, the provocative, the thought-provoking Gary Busey.
The unpredictable GB.
The unpredictable Gary Busey in studio tonight. Celebrity Fit Club 2 on VH1 is his show. Now, when they approached you to do this, were you gung-ho or did you think, man, I want to subject myself?
It was very much a surprise to be paid to be training. And I took it on. I said, this would be lovely for me because I weighed 220 pounds and just went through a tooth surgery. And I said, wow, this is great. This is a blessing from God. I'm going to do it. The show has inspired me to take care of myself so much that I want to be inspiring to others.
How much time is it requiring?
I want to be inspiring to others to take care of themselves. How much time?
Is it just every day for 3 weeks kind of thing?
It's 2.5 months shooting. We only shoot on Saturday and Sunday and sometimes Friday.
And you train every day for it?
No, I don't train. I train lightly every day because muscle weighs more than fat, and I'm here to go down.
Try to lose the weight. I've already
reached my goal weight set by the paddle 5 weeks ago, and I'm still going down. Because it's a team who weighs the less wins.
Mm-mm. So this is like the Biggest Loser kind of structure.
No, not at all. Forget that. Erase that from your mindset.
Come on, Drew. It's nothing to do with that.
There are, but in the sense that there are teams that lose.
The biggest
weight.
Loser is a negative word.
Drew, this is a group of people attempting to lose the most combined amount of weight.
You're right, again.
Unlike that other show you mentioned where it was a group of people attempting to lose the most combined amount of weight.
Hey, listen, here's what's interesting.
There's four people. I want to have five people.
Yeah. We got eight people on the show.
That's right.
Jackie A., who was on Sister Sister.
Yeah.
Won an Emmy several years ago.
A delight.
Victoria Jackson, who was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah. She put on a couple of pounds, Victoria did.
She was a gymnast, too.
Yes. Takara is a lady who's a big woman model.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Janie is the lead singer for a group called Warrant, and his big hit record was Cherry Pie.
I know it.
And then we got Phil.
Love that.
Every strip club I ever sat in, that's all I ever heard.
Big Phil is on Viva La Bam on TV. His son Bam beats him up a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah, big bearded Phil.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's Janie, Jackie.
Now this is
Phil,
your team.
Willie what Ames, about Victoria
the,
Jackson.
What about the Snapple lady?
Snapple lady is on a team.
Opposing team.
Oh.
Well, see, you got to watch it because I can't tell you what goes on the show. There's changes going all along to keep it alive.
I just saw that Gary was yelling at the Snapple lady. He was trying to get a little prayer going. And she went with a little non-denominational stuff.
No, she was going to a little Jewish direction with
Yeah, Jewish.
Yeah. No.
Nothing wrong with the Jews.
Well, nothing wrong, but leave it out of the boxing gym. That's all I'm saying.
Jews are great fighters, man.
Not since Max Baer, if as a Jew, been so prolific in the ring. All right, you ready to rock?
Let's do it.
Mark?
Gary Busey!
Hey, buddy, how are you?
God. Hey, Adam. You're a god, Adam. Drew, you're a god. Gary Busey, you're a god. I've missed you forever and a day. How are you,
Gary's a god amongst gods.
Yeah, he certainly is.
Hey, let's be careful with that word.
He's the Otten.
Gary, I'm just a normal sexist boy, Texas boy.
Yeah, but I've watched you on the big screen forever. And at first, I got to find out something from you, Gary. What was your favorite role?
That was Buddy Holly, the Buddy Holly story. That was a pure and definite characterization that I did without acting or anything. I just went up and listened to
You were nominated for that, were you not?
Yeah, I was.
Who won that year?
John Voight for Coming Home.
Oh, screw that.
Should have been you, Gary. Should have been you.
That year was Warren Beatty for Heaven Can Wait, Bobby De Niro for Deer Hunter, Laurence Olivier from Boys of Brazil, and John Voight for Coming Home, and me for Buddy Holly.
Let me kiss a little Busey ass for just one second. And
you don't have to do that. I'm fine.
An ever-shrinking Busey ass, I might add, as well. Pounds melting.
A new road mark.
Right here in the studio.
A new highway sign.
I've said this before about when Val Kilmer played Jim Morrison. I thought he did a great job.
You did a great job.
And I thought Gary Busey did a great job playing Buddy Holly. And I've said that it's a much taller order to play somebody that everyone is familiar with. I mean, impossible. As non-actors, Drew, you could see
yourself.
Well,
Buddy Holly's story was the first musical done live. I sang those songs and played them.
Yeah.
That'll be the day. When you say goodbye, that'll be the day.
Drew, could you stop
when
singing?
When you make me cry, you say you're going to leave it. You know what you like. Well, that'll be the day. Hey, hey, when I die, well, that'll be the
Gary's
day.
Gary's got his guitar, too. He's got... Here's all I'm
that'll
saying.
That'll be the day.
Drew, if somebody said you're going to have to play a haggard Vietnam vet confined to a wheelchair, or you're going to have to play someone that... Richard Nixon.
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, no problem.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Playing somebody that everyone is very familiar with.
Ray Charles.
I think I could do
Jamie Foxx was wonderful. Yeah.
It is
wonderful.
It's a taller order.
I agree. And here's the big, I think that one of the acting sort of myths is much harder to play yourself, though, Adam.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the hardest
God.
Thing. Nonsense.
If only someone would pay me to play myself instead of play with myself.
Well,
oh, yeah.
But you forgot how to play with yourself when you met your pet cat.
That's right. Mark?
Hey, yeah, I've got another question
21.
For Gary.
Yeah, Gary, it's Buddy Holly, hands down,
okay,
for
great.
You. Well, you were in Gumball Rally, too, right?
I was.
You drove the Camaro up on two wheels, Drew.
I went through the Holland Tunnel going 120 miles an hour with three Panavision cameras strapped on the front of the car in and out of 27 cars, which was controlled by stuntman. I'm very happy to be alive. Thank you.
Yeah, good movie. Yeah, he was driving the Camaro.
Really?
Remember that.
We did Speed for Speed.
It's like a good old boy.
Mark?
Okay,
Mark.
I got one other question, Gary.
What's your favorite Gary Busey role?
Oh, Mr. Joshua.
Lethal Weapon one.
Yeah.
Yes, Lethal Weapon.
Right. Mr. Joshua would walk through his grandmother's blood to get a postage stamp and never even look at her.
Oh, that was
Lethal
so awesome.
Weapon one, yeah.
Gary, is there any possible way, and I know this is asking a lot, I can get an autographed picture of you?
No, that'd be no.
That'd be no.
Dr. Drew, you
could work something out. He's a huge fan, Gary.
I'm a huge fan, Gary. I've watched all your movies. Is there any way?
Well, mail, let's see.
And maybe here at the station.
Where could he send you?
You could send it to an agency called Innovative Agency in Santa Monica. Innovative, Innovative. And mail it to that under my name, and they'll get it to me. I'll sign it and flip it back to you.
Now, you got to do that self-addressed thing where you put the stamps on it.
Yeah, you have to do that or it didn't come back.
Because I'll explain something about celebrities. Lazy. No, here's the thing. Somebody sent us a postcard recently that had their address on it and had stamps on it.
Yeah.
All we had to do was sign it and throw it in the mail. When you're starting to lick envelopes and fill out addresses, that's when you get really lazy.
That cancels it.
Right. So make it very easy.
A self-addressed envelope with stamps on it.
Right. Mark?
I can do that. Hey, Gary, you're still a god among gods.
Well.
And I appreciate your time. Adam, I got one question for you. Mind if I ask you a quick question, Adam?
Go ahead.
Adam!
Corolla!
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Wow.
Ooh-wee.
Mark's enthusiastic.
He's got energy.
That's all right. Gary's got energy.
That was quick and definite.
Yeah. We will talk to Cynthia, who's 23.
Cynthia.
How you doing with the ladies now, Gary? What's going on?
Well, I'm very unavailable to... I'm focusing on my career and my spirituality and my help for others and what I'm doing here. And I'm not available to have a relationship with a woman. In fact, the word relationship, here's what it stands for.
Uh-huh.
Really exciting love affair. It turns into nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril.
Ooh, wow.
Where on the other hand, we have romance. These are beauticisms. Romance stands for relying on magnificent and necessary compatible energy.
Ooh.
That's romance. That's much better. So I'm just caring for my family and mankind and myself, and I'm not interested in having playing the female-male gender game of teasing and punching buttons and manipulating and confusion, and it's just not worth it.
I could imagine a few tumultuous relationships with Gary Busey, especially back in the day. Oh, during the drug days?
Oh, no, I was
no picnic back then.
No,
were
but
you?
I wouldn't. When you do
cocaine, you're not
interested.
Yeah,
you get a CD.
Oh,
and that won't get up and they get big.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but still, if they cared about you, it had to be a difficult time.
They cared about the drugs.
Interesting. Have you been married?
Twice.
That's not. Yeah.
I'm very close to my former wife, Judy Busey, the mother of my great son Jake.
Mm-hmm.
We're very close. We're very bonded still, and. I was in heavy cocaine use and abused myself and the family and had to leave, had to depart. I departed on my own, but it was a great decision I made because God took me to a place where I had to find out on my own who I was, what I was here for, and to get rid of the self-ordained suicide that I was doing, destructing myself.
Did you go into rehab?
Never did. I OD'd on May the 3rd, 1995, and my girlfriend insisted on coming to Texas with me that day. She found me, and that girlfriend ended up being my second wife, Tiani Warden Busey.
Where'd she find you?
She found me in my house, in the back of my house. I was doing a golf tournament with Troy Aikman that morning in Dallas, and she wanted to fly to Malibu with me. She said she had a dream something's going to happen, and something did. I OD'd. She called 9/11, and I'm alive today.
How do you OD on coke? You do, like, speedball?
No, I just did too much, and I did a little bit of GHB, and I had tequila in me.
Wow.
And I went out, and I went to Cathedral City, California, Charter Hospital for 28 days, and they nailed me down, smashed my ego.
That's treatment.
Yeah. That is great.
It was good?
Great, yeah.
And that was it, and you got out, and that's been it?
Yeah, that's been it.
Wow.
May the 3rd, 1995 was my OD.
Wow. And if she hadn't found you, what
I'd
you
be
think?
Dead. I'd be dead.
For sure.
She saved my life, yeah.
Called the hospitals.
Called 9/11.
Got you help.
Yeah.
What would happen? He just, wait, how would he do? Do you aspirate or something on your own?
It depends
vomit
what the
or
problem
something.
Was, whether he's having arrhythmias or aspiration, something like that.
Wow.
They had a tube in my throat as big as a...
So it's a breathing. Yeah, he was not breathing.
And it was going... and they gave me a drug that paralyzed me. When I heard him say his fiance found, they found cocaine in his pocket, his fiance was there. I went, oh my God, I'm going. I felt like I was going to go right into death's door, laying there for like 10 seconds, but then it started.
That is that thing you and I were talking about earlier. When people doing drugs believe they're going to die, that's when they're ready to get better.
Ah, thank you. Well, man, we completed a circle there.
Yeah.
I said to everyone out there, stop doing drugs now. Stop it right now because you're killing yourself. And you're not assembling the worth of your ingredients by taking your own life.
We will, good words to take a break on. Gary Busey in studio tonight. Engineer Chris is, by the way, never been exposed. He's never got a dose of Busey before. He's never been abused.
He's awesome. And he's never been abused?
Gary abused me? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, he's never been abused.
Learning experience.
Hey, let's play Tickle and Pee.
Play some Tickle and Pee with the engineer, Chris. Yeah.
He will pee.
Yeah, give him a little shot. Give him a little shot.
Okay.
Come on, you got to pee, buddy. You got to pee.
Don't bump in my crotch like
come on, buddy. Don't dry hump him, Chris. You got to just play. No, yeah.
Isn't it fun to see people have fun?
He should have never established eye contact with Gary.
We got a pee, Gavin.
Drop to the ground and get in a fetal position.
He peed. He won the luggage in the car.
All right.
Cut.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little. No, you know, but he said, Engineer Chris was like, oh, I've never, Gary's great. He's great. I said, yeah. He's been done the show a few times. Sure, he's always great. Wow. So I guess he didn't know he was going to be physically assaulted.
No. I wasn't assaulted. That was a game.
But you've not been here since the great Gary Busey's been in studio. Yeah. All right. Well, something to tell your grandkids about.
Okay. You played Tickle and Pee tonight, and you won.
Right. We will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. It's Loveline, Gary Busey.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, he's got a motor in him, baby. You've always had a motor, yes?
I know. The motor's always on.
Yeah.
I've learned that Idol is a great place to be. And I don't mean Billy Idol or American Idol, but the Idol of... No, not you're not in gear. You're just humming.
Yeah.
He just let go a huge belch.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what burp means? Busey upchucks respiratory pressure.
Yeah, Drew. Hey. That's what burp
God,
means.
I can't believe I'm... That's a Drewism, a new Drewism.
Write that down.
Well, you know, burping is law in Texas. Burping is law in Texas. And if your camera catches you out and you're not burping, the burp patrol will come get you. And you go to burp counseling. I love burp. Burping in public was created by the Texas Rangers.
Gary looked over towards Chris. He looked away.
I told you, eye contact.
Chris. Keep looking out there, Chris.
Chris, what you do when you're working with me, you pray for the best, prepare for the worst, and expect the unexpected.
That's right.
Okay, here I come. Oh. No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm staying stationary.
Cynthia?
Stay idle.
Hello?
You're 23?
Yes.
You get panic attacks.
I get panic attacks. It's been a year since I've been single, and I meet guys, and I dig them a lot, and then I go out on dates, and I can't make it through the date. I have to leave, and I make up some crazy excuse.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're attracted to the guy.
Even if I'm attracted to the guy.
Cynthia, is this a panic attack from a past experience you've had probably? So you want to get out of it before you think it might go bad because of the familiarity of the past?
Or is it the date, being with a guy, or is it being in sort of public places, open spaces?
It's not really public places.
So you can go out to dinners and things with your friends and not have panic attacks?
Yeah.
Just when you're on a date, you have one. Is there anything else going? Do you smoke a lot of pot? Have you ever done speed or GHB or
other things?
You drink. Are you drinking when you go out with these guys?
No, but when I do go out drinking with them, I'll be able to make it through the date.
So you use the alcohol to manage the panic. And by panic attack, what do you mean?
Like, I freak out. I start sweating. I can't stop sweating. I psych myself out.
Drew, are panic attacks, they're not necessarily connected to trauma from the past,
no,
are they?
No, they're usually some, in my way of interpreting them, are usually some deficiency of emotional regulation. However, there's a whole school of anxiety as a behavior.
Gary, you ever had a panic attack, or you just give them?
I give them. I don't have them. I don't see. There's no reason to really panic.
There's
no reason to panic because you're creating your own panic.
Because he's Gary Busey. What's she panic about?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think he he deals out panic
right,
attacks.
Right. I'll tell you what.
Collects
what
it.
I love to do is get dressed in the dark and eat in the dark, and that keeps me from causing panic to others.
But Cynthia, the deal is though. I think what you're describing is almost more of a phobia than panic.
You have these, phobia. There you go.
You have
keyword.
These phobic reactions to dating, and that does actually lend itself to sort of behavioral interventions. Sort of basically learning how to have an experience with a male without panicking.
Okay.
You know, it's almost like fear of flying or anything else when you've got to go out and do it a few times and do it without the panic, and the behavior sort of extinguishes on its own.
All right. Well, what should she do?
Well, I go out and really.
Toilet?
No, this is to get on the horse. Get out there and have dates, sort of make yourself do it.
Get back up on the horse.
Get through it. Find ways to manage these
feelings. Are you a virgin?
No.
Is there something you're specifically afraid of that's going to happen on the date?
I think I psych myself out. I think,
what is the thing? Are you afraid of being out of control?
Out of control? What do you mean out of control?
Like, are you afraid that guy's going to rape you or something? Or you're going to be helpless or powerless?
No.
Game?
Somebody's going to play a tickle game with you?
I'm not going to give the impression that I want to give. I'm afraid that I won't meet. Especially if it's somebody that I really like. I feel like as soon as he gets to know me, it's going to be all over.
Yeah, that you're going to be judged.
One thing about
go do this. Just have some more dates.
Right.
More dates. I'm not going to say anything else because I heard the word cut.
You know, it's a weird thing. Let me ask you this, though. How does this work? You know, you hear about sometimes these celebrities getting panic attacks. You hear about Donny Osmond.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he does 5,000 performances of Nardo and the Raincoat, whatever the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
And then on the 5,001st one, all of a sudden, he can't go out on stage.
Right.
And I never have panic attacks, but I did Politically Incorrect 25 times, and I think on the 26th time I went out there, I got up in my head a little bit. I started like thinking they were announcing and now on the show, and I started, and then once I started thinking about it, I like started getting clammy and sweaty.
That's invisible paranoia.
And you never
how
know.
How does that work,
well,
though?
Maybe some psychological, something triggers an insecurity, but more often than not, it's something you're really not aware of, like you drank too much of your medicine the night before.
Ooh,
and so that sort of opens it.
Oh my God.
Basically, your brain has a predisposition towards panic. So when it starts getting anxious, it flows down a path into biology of panic.
Correct.
Because you've set it up that
way. It's weird that it happens so far in sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I think it's for you, it's your medicine.
No.
You took too much medicine.
How dare you?
Is your medication kicked in tonight?
It's not yet. It's some of it squeezed out of me when you gave me the tickle game.
Tickle and pee.
There's that part where you just get in your head where you have an idea and it's a horrible idea and now you can't rinse it free of your brain.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Well, take care.
That's my OCD.
If you can't rinse it free from your brain, you're not using the right soap and water.
Hey, that's heavy.
Heavy,
I have no idea what it means, but it's heavy.
It'll come to you later.
We will take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back with Gary Busey after this.
Yes, thank you.
Let's talk about the pros and cons of junior high football.
Gary Busey, out of time. Where did the time go?
Would you come back?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, sure. I'll be here at 5 a.m. I'll show up right after my paper route.
I'm just going to go to the chiropractor, get realigned, and then Gary can come back and play the tickle game on me again.
Tickle and pee.
Celebrity Fit Club 2, everybody. Watch Gary play
Sunday
tickle.
Night at 10 a.m. Sunday night at 10 p.m. VH1.
Right. Watch episode 3 when he plays tickle and pee with the Snap-on later. I mean the
Snap-on. I didn't play. You know what? That's a good idea. I'll play tickle and pee.
We will take
creative consultant Adam Carolla.
Little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.